Welcome back, everyone, to the Two Pointers Podcast. I'm Josh.
And I'm Trevor.
And we are fully in the swing of the offseason now. The Summer League has begun in Las Vegas. Shout out to our friends at No Ceilings and our friend Ryan Hammer, who are there covering everything. Hope you're having a great time. I know that Ryan's having a great time. He's meeting all of his favorite drafted players that I can see.
Yeah, and friend of the show, and a founder of Enabled, Nick, who's not there for Summer League.
Yeah,
but there
he's
the
just
same
in
week
Las
as Summer
Vegas.
League. Talked to him earlier today. We were like, that's fun. But he ran into Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and Dante DiVincenzo today. He posted the Shea photo about an hour before we started this. So good for him.
At the same time, or that's a weird couple
honestly,
to run into at the same time.
I don't know. I'm assuming throughout the weekend, but okay. It's a lot of fun to hear from these guys. And, you know, this is basically like a mini little, like, we're planting the seeds of some stuff that we're working on, talking about those guys. So we're going to leave that be.
No idea what you're talking
about. We're going to keep rolling. We're planting seeds about why we're talking to these people. Yeah, I love you're playing it dumb. All right. So, like you said, off season. And for those that are sitting here going, are you guys going to do another Malice at the Palace chat? Are you going to talk about your favorite players?
No, because apparently you guys all hated Malice at the Palace.
As of right now, the plan is no. The plan is no. So, this is my one ask. If you have anything that you absolutely want to hear us make fun of, talk about, discuss, break down, whatever adjective you want, please send us a tweet, message on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, comment, YouTube comment right here below. This is my YouTube plug and right here at the top. Anything
and for
that you feel
make
suitable.
Fun of, don't just send in the word Lakers. While funny, is not going to be something we're going to cover.
I have the words Los Angeles and Lakers muted on Twitter currently.
Really?
So
I'm sorry.
I do, because I just need a break from.
I've stopped paying attention to Charlotte for a little while as well.
So. Yeah, I need a break from like ball sack sports and the worlds like that.
Okay.
So.
Wait. So. One thing before, I know I'm getting off topic, but like, did you see the
if nothing
thing,
to talk about, so this is good.
Yeah, did you see the thing right before we came on that ESPN did a whole segment about a Ballsack Sports fake Ja Morant quote that isn't even real?
Oh yeah, it's happened numerous times, and the fact that
that was like that, like it was a whole quote about how. It's none of it's real. It's just completely made up for everyone to understand. Of Ja Morant saying how he would cross up or just dominate Michael Jordan if he was still in the NBA today, and ESPN
or he would be your average star.
Thought it was real. Which was even,
yeah, did a full blown first take segment on it or whatever that show is.
I think it was just
SportsCenter after it. Yeah, it was bad. So and ESPN. Some of the stuff that they just, I don't know. They're an off-season basketball area now like we are, so we're going to at least make light of it, and we're going to talk about Summer League, like Josh said a little bit. We're going to talk about the basketball tournament, which we watched a little bit last year, didn't really talk about. Really, really cool stuff in the TBT. Off-season moves, I just went out of order once again by accident.
It's okay.
We'll go, yeah. Anyway, Summer League, off-season moves, basketball tournament. It'll be a lot of fun, so... can I preface something with Summer League really quick? Can I just like get this out of the way now so then when the hundreds of people that hear this can make fun of me for it? So I'm going to look in the camera for this. So I have been friends with Josh for a long time. I have been a basketball fan for a long time. We have watched basketball in some form or fashion, whether with or without each other, for years. What I'm getting ahead of now is I don't watch a moment of Summer League. It is literally something I'm making eye contact with you listeners on YouTube, listeners on audio and viewers on YouTube. I am being very clear that all of these thoughts are completely highlight driven and box score driven. You can make fun of me. That's totally fine. And I'll just lay the two things out now and then we can move on from this. My frustration with Summer League and why I don't watch it is that if a guy has a really, really good Summer League, it's, oh man, look at that guy, breakout incoming, which could very well be true. I'm not saying it's not. On the flip side, if a guy has a bad Summer League, it's always, well, it was just Summer League. He'll be okay. So I completely do not think Summer League is productive for anything that the media has anything to do with other than networking. I think it's literally a big shout out, like you said, to all the No Ceilings guys and whatnot, having some great live shows there. But just
it's a great
some
training
of the stuff
camp
about it.
For younger guys.
It's a great training camp. It's a great training camp, and it's a great networking and marketing event for the NBA, and that's all, and that's what I'll leave with. I just want people to be completely clear when if they ever ask about it or if we ever talk about it. I'm just getting ahead of this now. When this is like something we'll clip in 5 years when we're there. Sure, great. I'll watch it when I'm there on TV for the sake of some of the stuff that comes out of it. I just don't care for it. I understand. I do watch like highlights of my favorite guys and take takeaways from that. Thank you for my preemptive, hey, make fun of me for this blank. But that is where I've landed with Summer League. And I just wanted to get ahead of that. So, Josh, anything you want to talk about from Summer League? That's a really
terrible way. Do you have any takeaways you want to lead with? Or
I do, actually.
Okay. I was about to say, I have big storylines to cover as just kind of like a reporting the news thing. But
I think the NBA's in a great place. I think that's where we are right now with Summer League.
The NBA's
in
a great place with young James guys. Wiseman makes Summer League debut.
That's a big deal.
Heading into year three in the NBA, he has now made his debut in Summer League, which I think, didn't know he hadn't played in it before, to be honest.
He hadn't played in 15 months, to be fair. He hadn't played in any basketball game in 15 months, which
is sad.
Good to
see him back. Yeah.
Albeit.
I hope he does well. Moving on down, Kyrie Irving was in attendance at Summer League, not for the Brooklyn Nets, but was watching Detroit and Washington. For whatever reason, just wanted to.
Gotta love seeing
there.
those Washington young good rookies.
Yeah,
gotta be what it is, right?
Kyrie was just being himself. We had the Banchero, or was it? Yeah, the Banchero Jabari Smith showdown, and it looked like Orlando made the correct decision in that showdown, quite a bit.
Which is so why I don't talk about Summer League. Yeah. That exact statement is why I don't talk
Paolo
about Summer League.
So let me not get into the jumping to conclusions thing here, but Paolo looked what we thought was a very polished scorer. He looked to kind of be the star in Orlando. Now, that's a whole big thing to say that about a team full of 3 to 0 years in the NBA guys versus an actual NBA team. Although, that's kind of what Orlando is going to be, is a team with, 3 years of experience or less. But, that being said...
pretty much.
Paolo looked like a star. He looked good, looked polished from the scoring perspective for his team. Jabari looked like he's going to need some time to develop a little bit more. I think jumping to conclusions after that off of one game is a bit much. Good things that can be said about him. He does work very hard. Clearly, he works very hard on defense, works very hard to do the other things outside of scoring, and I think that's going to help him be successful.
Yeah, so it was the thing that made my decision with my top three, albeit I did have him end up at three, Jabari Smith-wise, on my big board. The thing that I struggled with was, I hate putting hard workers who are that talented at third in a draft where he could very well be two or one. I'm not going to sit here, and it's the same thing I laid out a minute ago. It's just one of those things, he did struggle, but at the same time, he's not playing with the roster that he'll be playing with. And I think having a Şengün and having a Green and having a lot of those really Josh Christopher, Guzman Garuba, having a lot of those guys around them. Tari Eason looks unbelievable.
Josh Christopher is playing on that team. Yes.
That's great. The guys and the playmakers that will get the ball in his hands, because he's going to be relying on people getting him the ball, and he's going to be able to just improve those things around him just needing the ball. So he'll be able to make better plays defensively. He'll be able to cut off passing lanes. He'll probably average a steal or stealing, 1.2 steals probably in the NBA if he can really improve this passing lane cutting ability. But it's one of those things. Yes, head-to-head, Paolo looked unbelievable, but... big but here, but I obviously love that there's a good challenge for both of them, right? They got to play against each other and really see, what each other was made of. Even if it is Summer League, I'd like to see that matchup in the regular season and see how comparable those two were in terms of the matchups.
Cool. Yeah, I don't have much more. Other highlights, Benedict Mathurin looked awesome for the Pacers. He scored up just a ton of buckets. So bright things for Indiana, more bright things probably for Indiana to come. Moving down, this is just my personal observation of, OKC feels like the Showtime Lakers, at least the Summer League version.
Okay. Yeah. No,
what I felt going into it is all the hype, the OKC game's about to start, was just this massive buzz thing on Twitter. And I thought it was kind of funny, kind of memeable thing. But I guess if you're looking at from the young talent standpoint, Josh Giddey, Chet Holmgren, Usman Dieng, Jalen Williams, I didn't repeat his name. It's just, there's two of them.
You could have separated them between Jang, but that's okay.
Then it wouldn't have been funny. It's an incredible team. And the guys look good. I mean, Giddy looked nasty on that dunk over that guy. Chet looks exactly what we thought he would be. And then Jalen Williams, the one from Santa Clara, kind of proving why he was taken in the lottery.
So, okay, Oklahoma City definitely got their flowers when it comes to just the way Summer League and Twitter reacted to them, yes. I do want to make a point, though, that it kind of... And I always wondered about this when they took, like, people who were... gut reaction to Jalen Williams, Santa Clara, going 12 was, okay, yeah, he might have been taken. Yeah, they probably wanted him. Maybe it was a little high. Whatever the case may be, right? It was one of those things you go, do you really need a guard? And I made the case on one of our shows. I was like, it's a guard with a powerful wingspan. He's going to be better than just some guard that you'll have, right? But with having, like, Shea, and they just re-signed Dort, and having Giddy, and having Trey Mann, and having... It's like, you're going, well, why do you want to throw another guard into that equation? Well, you clearly saw he can do everything else that they needed to do, and then also be a primary, or a secondary ball handler. So, they just... I mean, all I wrote down was the Thunder building something special in Oklahoma City, and I... And just they're it's just funny because they have all these draft picks, and we're making the memes last year where we're like, they're gonna have so many picks, and they're currently recruiting seventh graders and all this stuff, right? Summer League is their finals. Let's just be real. Like, that's not a diss. That is legitimately. That's not. Sorry, Grayson. It's not. Summer League is like their. It is their final. No, it really is. It's their finals, and the reason I say that is because they get to put all of this really young talent on display against all of the same level competition, where it's like. Same level, young guys, same age, typically. It's a good showcase of those guys, and they're in a comfortable environment, so then the NBA can continue to be a challenge for them as rookies, sophomores, and growing from there, right? You don't see Shea playing, you don't see Dort playing. These guys that have been there, done that, played in some meaningful games, excuse me. But, no, I just had to give them their fair due, and it was a good point that I had seen that it was like, basically what you want to do with what they did with Jalen Williams from Santa Clara. Like, you draft a guy that's going to be a winner for you. And he is going to be, for sure. I liked Moses Moody and Kuminga and Mac McClung, and people are laughing because Mac McClung just got thrown in with two rotational pieces next year that'll be in the Warriors' top nine. But
He was a rotational piece for the Lakers this past season, so I'm not...
He was, and they took him from the Lakers. But more so Moody, this is a victory lap on me having Moody as my second favorite player in last year's draft, and Moody looked unbelievable, talking about passing lanes earlier, but with Jabari, like, Moses Moody averaging, what, I think it was like 2.8 steals through summer league, which is, it seems like a lot, and it is, like, he's jumping passing lanes.
It's just like a couple games.
Yeah, and he's also just being active on defense, and that's something that I think was going to be a point that I was going to make against myself with Moody was, can he be a primary defender in the NBA, whether it be, like, just basically a similar player to Jordan Poole in terms of offensively, but can he be a better defensive player than Jordan Poole? And obviously we've seen that so far. And then Kuminga, anytime Kuminga can get good reps when he can't with the Warriors because of their championship pedigree, right? Being the reigning champs, you're not going to play Kuminga that much. I get it, right? But when he can get his fair share of minutes and kind of just continue to be, he's still raw. Like, we have to understand that he's 19 years old, but I liked both of their play so far. I can't believe I'm the one bringing this up, but one of the coolest storylines to me was that our two teams went at each other and your team beat mine in sudden death overtime, and they won their first summer league game since 2019, which is, it's kind of a double-edged compliment. It's a compliment and an insult at the same time. You know, first summer league win since 2019, congratulations, but it came at the expense of my Los Angeles Lakers. So, I mean, you've had some really good young talent for the last couple of years. I'm just shocked you haven't won a game since 2019, so... I have to give them credit for that. They won a game, and I'm happy for it. In a really cool format, too. I like the sudden death every time. It's really fun.
Yeah.
Albeit it was like 12:30 our time, which was stupid.
Yeah, I had that written down. I had it written down just because it's interesting. No, there's no victory.
It was cool.
It's an exhibition
game. They won a game. It's cool.
No. No. I'm happy with it. My team had a winning record this past season. I don't need to take a victory lap about an exhibition
win. Morale, Bryce McGowan's, Kai Jones. Like, you have things there that you can be like, that's awesome. And it went really well. And they're building a really good thing there in Greensboro. So that was all. Literally all I had. Yeah. I
Do
wanted
you
my
to talk
preface
about
with
the Lakers
league.
Players in the summer league? Because I'm going to talk about the Hornets, guys, more in depth. Do you want to talk about the Lakers before I do that?
No, because okay. I only watched one game highlight of it, and it was the Charlotte game. So go ahead, have your fair share of whatever it is, and then I'm good with talking about free agency because the Summer League again, I'm okay.
Just my notes for it. Nick Richards and Mark Williams, who are kind of the two biggest names, with Bryce McGowan's there for Charlotte, probably the only... I mean, Richards and Williams are probably the only two players on that team that will actually be playing for the Charlotte Hornets this season. McGowan's will play for the Charlotte Hornets, probably only in garbage time. We'll spend quite a bit of time in Greensboro on a two-way deal. Because he was signed by the Hornets to a two-way contract out of his second-round pick. Richards and Williams both haven't looked the best yet. They look like they're still kind of getting a feel for it. And Kai Jones. I don't know why I was leaving that out. Kai Jones struggled a bit with his three-point shot. I do like that he's been working on it, and he has the confidence to go out there and try to shoot. I think eventually those are going to start to fall for him. I don't think he'll get as long of a leash with Steve Clifford as he gets in Summer League. So anyone that's freaking out about that, like... Kai's not going to have open season to go shoot three. But it's whether or not we need him to, but, like, that's another tool you don't want to, like, not take.
No, exactly. If he can give you everything he's shown in other developmental phases that we've seen this offseason, then great. Like, according to Hornets Twitter, I was thinking he was going to be all... I made the joke in one of our group chats. According to Hornets Twitter, he was going to be all NBA this year. But if he can be 30% from three this year and improve upon that, that's great. That's not what you need him to do. You need him to rip
the reason the Hornets Twitter talks about Kai Jones so much is because there's this sentiment that I've seen this from people who perceive themselves to be like actual basketball analysts that Kai Jones is already a bust, like that the Hornets really should just throw him away.
Some team's going to enjoy that because
he's an idiot.
He's
like,
going to be yeah.
I'm going to mention the person I'm talking about. I don't remember his name, but like. He also, in that same tweet, said James Bouknight was also already a bust. So I'm just leaving that there.
Too early.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of the sentiment
has very much been a forget Kai Jones because Mark Williams is here. It's not... I'm happy Mark both. Williams is here, but it's not a forget Kai Jones situation. Especially since he's probably going to be a power forward since he's only 6'10". Only 6'10". Yeah.
With a 7'9", you know, a 7'9" wingspan and a 9'9" stance. Yeah. But I know what you mean.
Shout out to Bryce McGowan's. Looked really good in the first game. Looked okay in the second game. He'll need some development to be more efficient. Then a couple of names who are definitely playing themselves onto the Swarm roster this year, I just want to shout out because they had some incredible games. LJ Figueroa. Went off in the first game for the Hornets, despite the loss. I think it was against the Pacers. And then in the second one, Tyshawn Alexander had an incredible game against the Lakers last night. He led the Hornets Summer League team in scoring to the win coming off the bench. So those guys who... LJ Figueroa had recently spent time with the Santa Cruz Warriors. It seems like he's going to earn himself a spot with the Greensboro Swarm with his play. And then Tyshawn Alexander had been recently in the EuroLeague. You know, it was not around the NBA, but looks like he should be getting a spot based on how he's done.
Yeah, I remember him at Creighton.
Those two guys.
Remember him at Creighton.
And
really
finally,
good.
Question for you. Who, through two Summer League games, do you think has the best plus-minus for the Charlotte Hornets?
JT Thor.
No, with a +31 through two games, Brady Manek of the North Carolina Tar Heels. It's the highest.
I should have seen that coming.
Plus minus in the Summer League with the Charlotte Hornets. In the loss to Indiana, he had a +10. Despite the team, rest of the team. He's not showing up in the box score, but like, and I realize this can't always show everything, but it was like, it was just kind of leaps and bounds above everyone else. I just wanted to put it out there that when he was on the court, they seemed to do way better.
It's a loaded stat. You've said that, and I'll just quote you.
It's a loaded stat.
You gotta,
but it's just funny. Just if you go look at the stats, the gap between his plus-minus and everyone else's is kind of astounding.
It's the first one that's going to catch your eye when you go, wait, was this guy +28 today? What?
No, there were some massive gaps. Like, he was +21 in that game that you said went to sudden death double overtime.
I should have seen it coming, and look, I... Good for him, honestly.
Shout out to Brady. He plays for the Greensboro Swarm this season.
It'll be fun to watch. I hope we plan to go to plenty of games. I would love to see him play again.
Yeah, that's all. That's my Hornets segment. Do you want to go talk about our success in saving Zach Raminto?
Yeah, let's just give Sacramento their due really quick, because I think it is worth, which I guess we're giving them. We're also giving ourselves. Let's just do the victory lap. Cue the victory lap, right?
Yep. Let's talk about my player that I think has been the most successful in Summer League so far, Keegan Murray.
Wow. I thought you were going to say Nemus Keita, because he's been unbelievable.
He has been as well.
The guy that... But with somebody I told you a few weeks ago I would keep on that roster, and he would be a great rotational big behind Rashawn Holmes.
It's just that's like Murray is shooting like 65% from the field in Summer League. Like, it's an incredibly high, and he's not just like around the basket, like he's shooting threes and everything.
He was one of the guys that hit that shot in that highlight that they played over and over again where they won up because they hit two threes and they went into sudden death, right?
Probably was.
Yeah, it was probably when him at this point. I'll pull up some stats because I'm curious where he is on some of those. While you're doing the next victory lap part of this, go right ahead. I'm going to pull up Keegan Murray's stats.
What victory lap? I don't know. I think we need to say. I think we've saved Sacramento. The fans look to be excited on Twitter. They think they're going to win 40 games this year, so they were really pumped.
People are going to think that this is a little premature on our victory lap.
I'm being as premature as the sentiment is being, because this is absolutely hilarious. There was the video of the three Kings fans coming out of the first Summer League game. Super hyped. One of them looks at a camera of a guy recording and yells, "We're going to win 40 games this year." Now let's talk about the problem with that statement.
That's night Kings next fans year in the West.
Have been so downtrodden over time that this guy is overjoyed about the prospect of winning 40 games, which would not be a winning record. It would still be a losing record. That's what kind of situation we're dealing with here.
That's like night seed. That's a huge victory. Like, they make the
not to mention they also weren't wearing real Kings jerseys. They were wearing like white T-shirts that they had drawn like Sac logo colored. Oh,
yeah, like that. They look like that.
Yeah.
So people listening on Apple and Spotify are very confused right now. If you're confused by that statement, please go watch on YouTube. We're not going to say anything else about it. But it's one of those things. Like, if they you're talking about the 41 thing. They said 40 wins, right? 40 wins?
40 wins. Not 41 instead of 41 wins. 40 wins.
He literally could have just... Never mind. So, if they win 40 games next year and they're like an 8 or a 9 seed, like the city might burn down. I fully believe that. Like, that's just where we've reached with this like level city of poverty. That's their only sports team. What are we going to do when the Kings go? Like, they have a franchise. Like, it's a really big deal, but like, my goodness. Anyway, Keegan Murray stats, 35 minutes, which I believe is most on this page, at least. And this is a huge page of player stats. One of the highest minutes in Summer League. This is what I thought was impressive. You mentioned, you know, he's just not taking shots from inside. Like, 13.5 field goal attempts per game on 44% shooting. That's not that concerning if you think about it with how many minutes. He's 40% from three on 10 attempts. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really good. Like, Keegan Murray,
basically what he shot in college.
Yeah, reliability, right? Even 80% from the line on 7 attempts, right? It's a really big deal. The two concerning things, like talented. Anything else, 4 turnovers per game and 5 fouls a game. So, you know, the typical rookie things you're going to do. You're going to swat too many times on steals and blocks. Mm-hmm. You're gonna do the things that you're not supposed to do with the ball, and you're going to make these passes that seem like good passes in hindsight. Whatever, right? I don't know. Yeah, I'm really happy to say that they look promising. Like, I just, like, losing to DiVincenzo is one thing, right? We probably would have obviously given him some kind of deal to keep him.
They replaced him with Kevin Herter, which I think is an upgrade.
But it is, yeah. Albeit.
So
it is.
And it wasn't a decision we really saw coming, the trade for Kevin Herter. And that is an upgrade, and he is a young guy. I was very, very in on the decision to bring Kevin Herter in.
Yeah. No, the fact that we're in a place where we can't discredit any move they made, which was kind of the point we made last week, so I feel like we're beating a dead horse. But it's one of those things, like, let's just see this roster play out. Let's see what they do at the deadline if they decide to move Holmes. Let's see what they do at the deadline.
It seems like the Holmes situation is actually better
Probably.
Yeah, like, the word was that Mike Brown's been talking to all the guys, obviously, but talking to Rashawn Holmes quite a bit. Rashawn Holmes seems to be buying into the mission there in Sacramento.
Diehard NBA fans can laugh at me. That's the Mike Brown effect. That's literally what that is. Mike Brown's an unbelievable coach.
He is, yeah.
He gets enough credit. So I think he's going to be a huge reason if they make those 40 wins.
He was able to handle coaching LeBron James for quite a while. I mean, he's got to be an incredible coach.
Yeah, he was. And he obviously had a lot of good runs there with the Warriors recently, being the assistant there for the last 4 years. So, mm-hmm. All right, anything else from Summer League? Because I cannot believe we just spent 25 minutes on it. Anything else from Summer League?
Sacramento, so we'll be taking thanks and congratulations from Kings fans at Two Pointers on Twitter. You're tired of my jokes at this point, aren't you?
No, I'm all for it. Like, the Kings thing was your idea, and I'm here to save them. So
we'll continue on to rejoice in the good fortunes of the Sacramento Kings until it inevitably goes bad again.
When they trade De'Aaron Fox for scrap metal at the trade deadline. So, to be fair, I'm not taking a victory lap until they win the title, which might be when we're dead. So let's move on.
Saving Sacramento means?
That's what I interpreted.
Oh.
Yeah, well, we might... Yeah, no, this podcast...
I might be in over my head here, then.
Yeah, a little bit. That's why when you brought it up to me, I was like, I'll see where this goes. I'm excited, so... Really quick, let's hit some off-season stuff that happened in the last 7 days, because, boy, does it feel like it flew by. I feel like the week before that, leading up to free agency, was like the episode after Ryan felt like took forever, but now I feel like seven days later, I feel like we're already back here again. So let's hit a couple of things that were really important, and people were going, what was really important in the last week? Boy, let me tell you, Isaiah Roby went to San Antonio. I'm just kidding. That's not,
that, no, I felt like
that's,
that was
a big deal. It is a big deal.
That was a weird NBA fans. Weird move.
Weird thing for the Oklahoma City.
By Oklahoma
very,
City.
Very, very, very interesting.
Yeah.
On
like
a
really
deal,
productive 24-year-old getting cut by Oklahoma City. He was under contract. Got waived.
And if we're going by the same logic under DeJounte Murray being 25, and not that Isaiah Roby's going to help you win like DeJounte Murray would, but signing a 24-year-old, it's like they basically were like, why would you guys do this? We'll take him on a, you know, what, $4 million deal for 2 years. So, sure. I mean, Isaiah Roby, it's a great pickup for the Spurs. I don't think it matters in the long term, but I do think it matters in the fact that they are in a rebuilding mode, essentially entirely now, and they're bringing in a guy that can help them do that. I do want to say something really quick, though, because I think this is important to note. Some really good Spurs reporters out there, which I'll just preface by saying this. If you are not connected with the Spurs organization in any way, and I'm talking like legitimate insider, work for The Athletic, Woj, Shams, somebody like that, right? And if you say you know what is going on inside the Spurs organization or draft room, and you are not one of those seven people in my head, I do not believe you. I'll just be upfront with you. I will listen to what you have to say, and I hope people can clip this in 6 months when we have a Spurs insider on, whatever, right? But someone out there in one of those Spurs blogs that was somewhat reputable, whatever, apparently quoted Pop recently in some kind of interview. Don't know if it was one-on-one, don't know if it was overhearing, don't know if it was a source, but basically they said Pop is really excited about, almost revitalized by the fact that they're moving on after the DeJounte Murray thing, not because of Murray, but because they're going to a rebuild, and it brings him back to his like early coaching days, like pre-NBA. So my takeaway from that is that is scary, because if a 71-year-old Pop is revitalized by the fact that he's back to, like, what was it, like Cal Poly? Is that where he went? He was like somewhere like that before, right? If he's revitalized by that after trading away the best player he's had since he broke apart since those teams broke apart after the title, man, I'm a little concerned if I'm any other team in the Western Conference, albeit even the NBA. Like, if Pop's revitalized at 71 years old and looking forward to making this full rebuild happen in a short-ish amount of time, I think Murray would have been a really good piece to do that with. That tells me Pop's probably sticking around, which would also tell us what we thought about the Becky Hammon situation, where she is, you know, obviously not sticking around for a job that might be 6 years down the road. So just thought that was interesting. Like I said, if you're not one of the seven people out there that I trust in the Spurs conversation, don't believe it. But, you know, either way. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I have one. So, Greg Popovich, there's a bit of rumor of what San Antonio was trying to do with this whole Dejounte Murray trade thing. And considering that Popovich says, oh man, this takes, I'm really excited, this takes me back to my early coaching days. Popovich took over the Spurs in 1996.
And I think he meant pre, this quote, obviously subjectively, I think it meant pre-Spurs, but
But
either way.
let's just think about his first year in San Antonio. 1996. They ended up getting the number one pick in the draft in 1997 after being the worst team in the NBA.
Because
And
David
they
Robinson missed like 65 games with a foot injury. Yeah, I
And
remember.
then they
Or I
selected
know.
Tim Duncan
Tim Duncan.
first in that draft.
I know where you're going with it. I know where you're going with this, and I like it. I'm here for it.
They selected a very talented international big man with a shot from mid-range to outside. They're tanking for Wembanyama, as Pop is telling us that, right? That's what I'm getting out of this.
Again, not one of the seven
He
people that said
really
it,
want,
that
let's
quoted
be
it.
honest,
He
he's
really
a
wants him.
super tall foreign player. Pop is in love. Come on now.
He's seven. This is like draft chat way too early,
Seven
but he's
three.
7'3", 7'3", with a like cooked Rudy Gobert in like French practice videos I saw the other day. Shots from deep. Like it just, man, I look, I have not done a deep dive, but I fully, I am fully on board with Tyler's, shout out Tyler Rucker for being on the show. But Tyler tweeted like 3 hours after the draft the next day, like when he woke up, I guess like 10 a.m. the next day, and was like, for those of you curious, my 2023 draft board, Victor Wembanyama.
Everyone
That was
else.
it. It was just one. No, it was literally just that, and that was it. Like it could just be concluded from there. So I'm really excited to do that. The next year's draft's gonna be, whew, it's gonna be a lot of fun. It's not just the top guy, but at the same time, it very well is. So yeah, Pop basically is telling us that. It's a good point. So San Antonio is one of those teams that I'm really intrigued by, and I definitely want to have a conversation in detail, which we will do on the Western Conference preview in a few weeks. So I say a few weeks, it's July 11th. Like literally that episode won't go out until almost September. So that'll be fun. You know what I mean by a few weeks, few months, few weeks, whatever. A couple of other signings. We'll hit these really quick. Actually, I'm going to give you four of them and then you tell me which
Sorry, I
one you
didn't realize
think
I was
is.
muted. That's like 6 or 7 weeks. That's a few, right?
Yeah, it's a few, anything more than three. So I'm going to read, I think this is a good way to do this. I'm going to read these four because they need to be highlighted. They happened. And then you tell me which one you think is the most impactful for their team.
Okay.
Bismack Biyombo's back to Phoenix. John
Okay.
Conkar is back to Memphis. Frank Kaminsky's to Atlanta by way of Phoenix. Taj Gibson, after being bought out by New York, which surprised me a little bit, is going to sign with Washington. I'm assuming in a vet, like just a vet minimum, be a vet in the locker room kind of guy. That's where he is. Which one of those do you think has the most impact?
I'm gonna cheat and go. I feel Konkar and Kaminsky moves are kind of the more impactful ones. Konkar's looked good in the looked really good in the minutes he was given in Memphis, and he's an example of a guy, once again, who went undrafted and kind of worked his way in, has found a really good spot in the Memphis organization, playing minutes for them off the bench. So good for him. And then Kaminsky has some tools that you'd hope that Atlanta can work with. Like,
He
he
was
feels like he
awesome at
fits in
Wisconsin.
Atlanta. He's a good offensive player who can't play defense. It's very much their style.
Ouch. I'm just saying ouch because the Fox fans are gonna love that. Yeah, no, this is why I enjoy podcasting with you. We've been doing this for almost 2 years. Shout out to everybody. 2 years. I can't believe you didn't take the Charlotte Hornet guy that was a really good rotational big for Phoenix. Like I'm really Bismack Biyombo to me was the most impactful of those four. He's a
You are
really
overrating how
really
good of a
good rotational
rotational
big.
big. You were really overrating how good of a rotational
Well,
big Biyombo was.
maybe, but he's gonna have to be because they no
His
longer have
range on
Javale
the
McGee, which we
offensive end
highlighted
is
last week.
2.5 feet.
That's what they need him to be though. That's what JaVale McGee can
And to
do, and
be
that's what they
then,
had to
like,
replace.
how tall do you think Bismack Biyombo is? Don't look anything up. Tell me right now. Instinct, how
Shout
tall
out
is
to
he?
Pirtle. He's 6'8". Shout out to Pirtle. He's 6'8" or 6'9". Yeah.
Six
So,
eight.
and that's
Not
one of those
close to
things. Like, that's
6'9".
fine. And that's fine. It's one of those things when you lose JaVale McGee because they weren't going to pay JaVale McGee that much money that Dallas gave him. Don't like we can't sugarcoat that. That's not going to happen. So they bring him back on a team-friendly deal,
Lost
and he
five
can be
inches
a
of height in
rotational
that
big for
too.
them. Yeah, look, and they lost that with
a big that is, just to be fair, shorter than their shooting guard Cameron Johnson.
Yeah, but look, at the end of the day,
his main ability is he's supposed to be able to block shots.
Well, and that wasn't their downfall. Against Dallas especially, it wasn't their downfall to have a 7-foot center because Dallas literally wasn't using one either. Yeah. So it's just a matter of they may not need it. It may not matter, but he might be. But he's going to have to be one of those pieces that's going to matter for them because they no longer have McGee or Kaminsky, who was the two guys that played those minutes. So to me, that was the one. I'm intrigued by the Taj Gibson thing going to Washington. Just seems odd. I mean, but just vet yeah. guy into end of a career. Respectable thing to just
I didn't know he was I kind of thought he had retired
no I knew he was on the Knicks still because you know I remember because okay. it's oh my gosh,
your second favorite team
Dom Thibodeau it's Thibodeau and then it's the fact that they literally don't play young guys in New York and he wears like number 67. How can I forget a guy that wears number 67? Like, it's just really cool. Let's go ahead and roll to the next one really quick. We're almost done. Danilo Gallinari officially, which it hadn't happened technically. I'd said that I thought it did, or I thought I had seen it was happening that day. It took a little while longer than we thought, but Danilo Gallinari officially signs to Boston for 2 years, $13.3 million with a player option on the second year. $7 million basically for Danilo Gallinari for what the Celtics need him to do. Basically a two-year title push here for them. Great. He's going to be an unbelievable seventh man that doesn't sweat and doesn't play defense. There was literally a meme on Twitter last year about him like playing 30 minutes and he visibly had no sweat on him. It was very, very weird. Mm. So he'll fit right in Boston where he can just catch passes and shoot threes. Like, he's going to be Danilo Gallinari, the 33-year-old sharpshooter. I say sharpshooter in air quotes. I don't know why I did that. He shot 41% last year. So that's it's a good signing for them officially. And I think that's worth noting. So. Really quick on Damian Lillard. All right. And then the last major signing, Damian Lillard signs for a whopping, and I don't have the number
biggest deal per year in NBA history.
Currently.
I think. Yeah.
Which was literally Nikola Jokic 3 days ago.
Yeah.
2 years, and I don't know what the number was prior.
122.
Well, I know the number for the now, 2 year. 2 year 122, but I don't know what it is leading up to it. Spot Track, obviously, shout out to Spot Track for having all that, but. The biggest point to make with him there is one of the top earners in NBA history with $451 million in expected career earnings, yeah. Assuming he doesn't sign like a small vet, you know, whatever. But he's basically, he probably won't be a $500 million man like Kevin Garnett, but he'll be really, really, really close at 451. And that is very close. People don't realize that would be a fourth max if he did sign it. So to become a $500 million man.
Did KG make $500 million off of just his NBA salaries?
He did.
You know how much more that was when he played?
Well, it blows my mind because he's like one of the richest. He was one of the richest.
I looked adjust that for inflation?
Yeah. He's a billionaire adjusted for inflation for sure. Yeah. We don't have time to discuss what that entails for Damian Lillard's, you know, whatever, legacy, how they're going to build the team, yada, 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 whatever.
I don't
There's a lot
talk about
there.
Legacies. I'm so tired of talking
no,
about legacies.
People are going to beat that into the ground. And that's why I said I don't really think it makes sense because you sign a guy. My only point would be you sign a guy to that much money, you're limiting yourself to being able to sign. I mean, it's the deserving small market guy gets the good deal because he's worth it, all that stuff, whatever people are going to say. But at the same time, though, like, James Harden just took a $14 million. That's another one I forgot to mention. James Harden took a $14 million pay cut to allow Daryl Morey to retool around him to win a championship in the next 2 years. So you have guys doing stuff like that. And by the way, I'm as floored as you are that I just said that about James Harden. But that is what happened. $14 million less to retool around him. So
$14 million doesn't mean much to James Harden at this point in his career.
It doesn't. And not that... 2 years, 122 should mean that much for Damian Lillard. He obviously, you know, deserves every bit of it. But if he wants to win a championship, I think we kind of see a little bit where his priority might lean. So, nonetheless, it was worth signing it. They felt like it was worth it. He wanted to wait it out, according to Haynes, who they're bros anyway. They wanted to see how they handled the offseason and whatnot. Damian Lillard obviously seems pleased. So, sure.
He likes rap. Maybe he'll start a record label. Who knows?
And leave it in Portland? Or, like, have it headquartered in Portland? Yeah, that'd be fun. KD apparently went radio silent and is potentially staying in Brooklyn along with, like you said, our pal Kyrie Irving, who was watching Wizards Summer League. We are not going to talk about that because we spent 39 minutes talking about that last
Yeah,
week.
Just let it be known that everything went silent on the Katie trade front, so this is going to be a long situation.
Yeah, he'll more than likely be a Brooklyn Net. If I had to bet on it, I think he would be a Brooklyn Net come October. So
it's funny. He's probably not going to play.
Yeah, probably.
It's like it'll be Ben Simmons and friends, but that's about it.
Lastly, free agency wise, DeAndre Ayton, Indiana Pacers rumors are heating up as we're recording this. I normally do this at the top. We're recording this Monday, July 11th at now 8 o'clock. We're talking about DeAndre Ayton. He very well could be a Pacer as of like tonight or tomorrow. Mm-hmm. The issue is, I don't think Brogdon's physical officially has, as of recording this, obviously we've got stuff muted and I don't know if we've seen it, but pending Brogdon's physical that was supposed to happen this evening, this trade with Brogdon, it would be official, and then they would have a max offer for DeAndre Ayton on the table, supposedly, according to Brian Windhorst. And at the end of the day,
What is going on in Indiana?
There was, but at the end of the day, we couldn't figure out the team that had the max that he wanted to be valued in, and I think Indiana was right in front of us the entire time.
Yeah.
We both said it. We were like, I don't know who that is, and obviously, we weren't thinking about Malcolm Brogdon trade complications there, but that ultimately gave us our answer. So I'd be shocked if he wasn't a Pacer in the next 72 hours.
And look That's at the flip side of that. Most likely, the signing trade would see Miles Turner heading to Phoenix.
Which, that's awesome if you're a Phoenix. That's,
yeah, I mean, if
that
you're
solves
a Suns
all the Biz
fan,
Mac Biombo
That's amazing. So
solves all the Biz Mac Biombo questions that we talked about 5 minutes ago. Having Miles Turner there. So, anything else on free agency that you think was worth noting? Obviously, it's been a very quiet week. Summer leaks happened. I saw a lot of pictures of GMs talking to Woj and people, speculating and, whatever, right? It's going to happen. It's Summer League, like I said, big networking conference. So,
yeah, the GMs are all telling Woj needs to shut up.
Apparently Ryan, this is not aggregating anything, Ryan tweeted this, apparently Ryan was standing near Sam Presti and he heard on the phone 2029 second round pick, so very well.
I believe all of these GMs are talking about 2029 second round picks.
Where we are with trading.
Even though
guys
those
now.
Players are, I think, if I'm doing my math right, entering into
their seventh grade
season of middle school
basketball.
Grade year.
Which are, by the way, there are rankings for.
They are yet to literally be teenagers. Oh, I know.
There are rankings.
UNC basketball Twitter was getting hyped up about King Bacot, the
King
11U.
Bacot.
Yeah, just crossing people up. Because Armando said he's a future Tar Heel, so that means he's coming, obviously.
Yeah, he's a 2029. He's the number one overall player.
Yeah.
2030. He's
the 2030 season. He'll be a freshman at UNC.
Let's make the smooth transition into the basketball tournament, something
the
that we neglected to
tournament.
Cover last year, and it just sounds cooler than it might be, but we're here to talk about it. So it's super exciting because it's basketball in the offseason. It's some players that you might have forgotten about. It's some really cool college stars, some international overseas-type guys on a lot of these teams. They've expanded to 64. They have the Elam ending, and from there, I'm going to give it to Josh because he has not told me what we're talking about when it comes to that. I have two questions for him like I always do. We can end with that. But the basketball tournament is here. We are excited to spend. It will be starting on, I don't have the date in front of me. It's Saturday. The Saturday of this is going, the week of that going out. So we look forward to coming.
July 16th.
16th. Awesome. So without further ado, my friend, go right ahead. I have no idea what this is about.
Okay. So let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let me kind of zero this in. Some of you may be really confused as to what we're talking about when we say the basketball tournament.
And that's okay, by the way.
Yeah, that's fine. But it's a very unique concept that I think is going to be really fun for people once I kind of explain what's happening. So for those of you who are fans of soccer, the original idea for the two guys who started this was to kind of do an American version of the FA Cup. FA Cup in England is a cup in which every team that in England that plays soccer past an amateur level, sometimes not past an amateur level, competes in one tournament. That means you and your friends that have a team that you go play some pickup soccer and then go have a drink at the pub compete in the FA Cup. They're called pub leagues. It's a big thing in England.
It's a huge deal.
Yeah. So the idea of the basketball tournament is you can enter, like, so just as a plug point for 2023, if you and your four best friends have the money, one, to enter a qualifier, you can go enter the basketball tournament and play against these guys. It is an open tournament. These 64 teams that have made it went through qualifiers. And the winner of this 64-team single elimination tournament, March Madness style, will win $1 million as a team to be split up amongst them. So that's what the appeal of it is. Some of these people are... I mean, most of them haven't played in the NBA. A lot of it's guys that we've talked about, we've seen in college that we knew about that just haven't quite made it. And they're competing for money, some of them for charity, some because having a split like 10 ways of $1 million would mean a lot. It's $100,000 to some of these guys. So that's the way the tournament is set up. It is qualifiers open to everyone. About half the teams, and we'll get into who the teams are, have kind of become alumni teams for certain universities. The defending champion from 2021 is called Boeheim's Army. It's the Syracuse alums. They're very talented. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with this year again as well. Very talented team. But it's what a lot of the teams have started to become. You're going to see a lot of college players that you may have known and loved. Sadly, no one from Tobacco Road is in. Currently, there's no UNC, Duke State, or Wake Forest team. I will just say, if those three schools like formed teams with their guys that just aren't in the NBA, they would crush it. But currently not in the tournament. I think that'd be incredibly entertaining. Just putting that out there. Moving on to why this is important and matters. One, they've got a contract with ESPN. All of the games in this tournament are being broadcast across the ESPN networks, meaning the main channel, ESPN2, ESPN3 online channels, and ESPNU. Every single game, all 63, will be televised. They all kick off Saturday. There will be a lot of games really quickly. It does not last as long as March Madness. I think it'll be done in like a week and a half. It's not like a full 3-week tournament. Like, they are just going to pick up right there. Maybe 2 weeks, but it's like they're gonna fire them off. They're gonna be through it quick.
I've got the schedule in front of me if you want to take a look at it. Want me to take a look at it really quick.
Eventually.
Okay, you're still laying this out.
Right. I'm still laying out
to be
the
fair. It does end on August 2nd,
so basically a 2-week tournament, 15-16 days
pretty much.
Yeah,
yep,
not as long as the NCAA tournament, like I said. The Elam ending. So it was introduced recently. You may have seen it in the NBA All-Star Game. That's because it was invented in the basketball tournament. They came up with what would be an exciting way to end a game. Instead of having a buzzer beater, how about when the teams get to a certain point, you shut off the clock, and it's... I think the way they do it in the basketball tournament or have in the past is different than the way that they're doing it in the NBA All-Star Game. But it's like 8 points up from whatever the score is when there's 5 minutes left on the clock in the fourth quarter. So they start the fourth quarter and they shut it off around that.
It's an abbreviated version of it, basically. Or it's what I would consider a better version of it. Yeah.
To put the point as to why it's important, the basketball tournament doing this is why the NBA All-Star Game adopted it. They are very much influencing how the game of basketball is being consumed at the highest level. And it's creating a lot of very interesting things to check out. Not to mention, you've got 64 teams full of players who definitely would like to probably be playing in the NBA. They weren't invited to summer league rosters. And they're playing on these teams. A lot of them are going to, after this, go back and play for their Euro League teams. Or they're going to go back to their regular jobs. But you never know what showing out in the basketball tournament could end up creating for one of these guys. So there's a lot of chance for Cinderella stories here. It's very interesting. Now that I've kind of laid out what the tournament is, do you want to ask any questions before I start going through some of the teams that are of note?
No, I understand it. I've liked it. I watched some of it last year, and I'm excited to basically watch as much as I can. I'll be able to watch more as the like when we finish the first like rapid fire. It's like the first day of NCAA tournament. You can't really watch all the games, but you can watch as many as you can on many screens as you can. I'll probably start watching a little more intently as it gets more narrowed down. But yeah, I have some thoughts. I have some predictions. I have some teams I'm rooting for. So whatever. Yeah, go through the teams. Let's talk about it. I'm
Okay.
excited.
I'm not going to go through all the teams because there are 64. I'm going to go through the 8 1 seeds. So the way they split it up into 8 8-team pods. And so there are 8 1 seeds. I'm going to go through who the 8 1 seeds are because that's kind of your biggest, like your odds on favorites. And then some other teams of note that I found interesting. So the first 1 seed is Team YGC. They are quite notable because their sponsor, or the person who's put up the money for them to enter in the tournament, is Marcus Smart, point guard of the Boston Celtics. So Marcus Smart is quote unquote the owner of Team YGC. Notable players, they're led by Trey Davis and Jared Terrell, who were some of your upper New England area college basketball players. As well as Trevor Abdul Malik Abu, the former NC State big, plays for Team YGC. It's the only state player I saw. I'm sure there are more, but he's the only one I saw in my prep for today. The next 1 seed is Team Aftershocks. It's the alumni from Wichita State University. So if you enjoyed their run to the Final Four over the past couple of years, and you're looking to see some of those players that aren't named Fred VanVleet, check out Team Aftershocks. Florida TNT, which is not in any way associated with any of the Florida universities, is the next 1 seed. Notable names: Kenny Boynton, Keith Clanton, and Antonio Blakeney. I'm sure you remember Antonio Blakeney from his time in college.
Boy, I do.
Next up, Gutter Cat Gang. So Gutter Cat Gang used to be known as Team Hines. It is based on Kyle Hines, who is just like this super muscular big man who's been a dominant force in the EuroLeague for years. It's the team that he's been putting together for a while and has kind of a historic ability to do well in this tournament. Team Heartfire. Heartfire is coached by LaPhonso Ellis, head coach of Team Heartfire.
Nice.
As well as a notable name is, I think, Daniel Ochefu, the big man from Villanova in their 2016 national title team.
Yeah.
The team that I'm excited to watch, the Money Team, owned by Floyd Money Mayweather Jr., with their star player, the former MVP of the Chinese Basketball Association and Brigham Young University graduate, Jimmer Fredette. The basketball
Let's
tournament
skip
in
them because
recent
they're on my list
years
too.
has very much become the Jimmer Fredette show. Because Jimmer Fredette should be in the NBA. Period. The guy is like got
Probably,
so
yeah.
many 50-point games in China. It's ridiculous. Like
I believe
he's
there's 70-point games in there, by the way.
There are. I'm
Pretty sure
just
he has.
putting in the how many 50-plus point games he's got. He had a couple 70-point games in China.
And the Chinese Basketball League, by the way, it's probably the sixth. I'm just off the top of my
I
head.
think
It's a
probably
top 10
I
league
would
in the
say
world.
third best pro league.
Yeah, it's a
Well,
top 10 or 5 league in
if
the
you
world, depending
consider
on
the
what you
G
think.
League its own league, I'd call it the fourth best pro league today. You got the NBA,
It's
the
probably right.
Euro League, then the G League, then the Chinese
League.
Basketball
And it,
Association.
what about NBL? You don't think the NBL?
No, I think CBA probably better.
Okay. I'd have to do a deep dive on the CBA because I don't watch a ton unless there's a prospect there, like a draft prospect, which is my problem because there hasn't been many the last couple of years. The NBL has been more.
The
I've had
CBA
a chance to
used to
watch
be
more
like the
NBL.
number two league after the NBA, but like all of the European countries grouping together into one league has definitely kind of surpassed that.
Well, and that's, like I said, unless a draft prospect has come out of China recently, like I spent a lot more time
Which
in the
they
last
haven't
3
been a
years in the
lot
NBL.
recently. Yeah.
There haven't been. The NBL has had a lot of good talent, so I've been able to watch that more, so I have a better opinion of it, unfortunately.
So yeah.
Keep going through the teams. I'll
Look
highlight
out
the
for the
regions
money
when you're
team.
done, because I think it's important. Yeah, I'll talk about them in a minute. I
Next
have
one
plenty of
seed,
thoughts there.
Beheim's Army, the defending champion. A lot of notable players here. DJ Kennedy, DeAndre Kane, Tyler Ennis, Rakeem Christmas, Merrick Dolajai.
CJ Fair.
CJ Fair,
CJ
yeah.
Fair, too.
But it's looking as the notable like adds this year, Tyler Ennis, who spent a few years in the NBA,
Played for
as well as
the
Merrick Dolajai, who spent 5 years with the Syracuse Orange. It never seemed like he was ever going to graduate. And he has, but he's still going to be donning that Syracuse orange in this tournament this summer. So look for him out here. Buddy Boeheim probably joining this team next year once things don't work out in the NBA. But
hey, give him a chance. Okay,
I like Buddy.
Shout out. I'd love to see him on the Lakers summer league roster. That'd be really funny. I do also want to say that Tyler Ennis. Shout out Tyler Ennis. He was a Laker as well. So keep going through this. Did you ever say, by the way, how they determine these one seeds? I don't think you did. How did they determine these one
it's
seeds?
Just kind of like they do
most
with the
wins, right?
I'm not sure. I think it might be the way they've done in
all
the
these
past.
Teams have notable wins.
So they've got all-time records on the website. I don't think if they've shown much for like this round of qualifying. Most of these one seeds did not have to qualify. They were teams that were wildly successful in last year's tournament. Like, I don't think they made Boeheim's Army qualify. Like, for this year's tournament.
Yeah, they didn't.
No.
They won, because they shouldn't.
Yeah,
because
they were the defending
champions. Keep going.
I think it's very much like selection show style of these are the best teams we think are put together. The last one seed, Best Virginia, which is the West Virginia alumnus. Notable players, John Flowers and Kevin Jones. Notable assistant coach is current NBA player Javon Carter.
Former West Virginia standout. He's one of the best players there I can remember. So
those are all the one seeds. One other team that I would be hard-pressed not to mention is Team Overtime. The Overtime Elite Kids.
I knew you were
going
to do it.
The kids that are going to be entering the NBA draft next season will be competing in the basketball tournament on national television. Amen and Oscar Thompson will compete in this tournament. You can't look at me and tell me that is not wildly interesting.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, they're literally rolling out their entire roster or entire, you know, all these guys are going to be in the Overtime Elite camp next year. Like, it's Antino Jackson,
Billy Roy White,
yeah,
Jalen Martin,
like, unbelievable. Even Marcus Thornton, like, there's just some. I am intrigued. Do I think they win? No. But I do think that they are talented enough that they could beat some people and kind of scare some people. I think they could make a run, but it's just the fact of, like, can the Thompson twins basically do it all? It's kind of where we are, right?
I really hope that they don't lose the first game, because I want to see them play more than once, to be honest, I don't know where Overtime Elite plays. So, like, I don't know, like, how they're playing in competitive competition, so, like, I don't know how else I'm supposed to see Amen and Oscar Thompson before next year's NBA draft, outside of watching them, like, in real competitive basketball, other than watching, like, some high school highlights or workouts. Like, how am I supposed to actually see these guys?
Yeah. They went for a reason, and, I mean, the reason may very well be money in terms of going to Overtime Elite, but it's also one of those things we want to really see where that league develops and understand, because, obviously, after the John Montero and Michael Foster situation, I don't know, man. It's not looking good for him, at least in terms of draft prospect being drafted wise. Yeah.
Now, the Thompson twins are a whole different story as far as talent goes.
Yeah. They are, like, potentially two top five picks next year, believe it or not. So, that was all the one seeds, right? I really think
Team Overtime is not a one seed. That's just what I wanted to notably speak about.
That was the last one. Yeah. I have a couple of things I want to, like, first of all, I want to highlight the regions. Unfortunately, North Carolina and the area that we're near was not, like, if there was one in, like, Columbia, South Carolina, like there is for the tournament, I would have absolutely went and watched one of these games, probably. So, just really quick, if you're in any of these areas, Omaha, Xavier, Ohio, New Mexico, Rucker Park, which I think is awesome.
Yeah.
That Rucker Park got. That is unbelievable to me, that Rucker Park. I love it. I'm a basketball historian. I love the Rucker Park stuff. Julius Erving, obviously, some of his first, like, moments as a basketball player were on Rucker Park. The NBAPA Rucker Park Regional, which is really cool. Wichita, which, like you said, has the number one seed. Syracuse, West Virginia, and Dayton, which is where they're going to conclude the tournament. So, I had just had two quick questions for you in terms of just talking about some of these teams. You highlighted some of them. Most of them that you said weren't on my list, so I think that's good. We can kind of talk about it. Are there any teams, I think you mentioned, like, outside of the one seeds, like, is there any team that you're really intrigued by based on either, like, the makeup of them, the name, maybe somebody on them, etc. I know you said Overtime Elite. That was probably pretty obvious. I had a feeling you were coming with that one. But is there any other team you're like, that's really neat?
I mean, outside of the one seeds, it definitely was Overtime Elite as the top one. There are definitely some more interesting teams, like India Rising, which is just a team put together of players of Indian descent, which is not normally what we think of as a basketball hotbed for players, but it could be an interesting way to see the start of that. HBC United.
Had that one as well.
Some of the top HBCU players were coming in. The team from the Drew League is coming through.
By the way,
the LA Cheaters is their name.
Yeah. Intrigued by the name and also intrigued by the fact that it's not even some of the best Drew League players, which is just kind of sad.
Kind of their star, it looks like, is going to be James Ennis.
Yeah.
But just interesting to see the Drew League showing face here.
I like it. It's on my list of exhibition things to watch in the offseason as a basketball fan. I do want to go see the Drew League one day. It's a really big deal.
Yeah, I think those were... There was another one, but I can't remember what it was now that interested me. Oh, one thing I did point out. Peacock Nation, St. Peter's, making their debut. St. Peter's alumni making their debut in the tournament.
Any notable names on there? I didn't look, actually.
Dude, I have no idea who these guys are.
You don't? There's none from last year's team? Oh, that's so sad.
Let me check.
Like, Shaheen Holloway should be playing. I think it'd be really funny. But
no, I think he went to DePaul. He's not a alum.
Oh, that's
right. St. Peter's.
I got so caught up in his story. Like, that's
good. Yeah, point. No, I don't know who they are, but...
None of them. That's sad.
Okay. They're alums of St. Peter's that are kind of just riding the... St. Peter's
that's
Mania.
Right. No, they can't be. Yeah, they can't be any of the guys last year unless they graduated. That's right. Duh.
Yeah.
So it'd be really cool in the future to see them. Hopefully, they requalify in a couple years when like Doug is all and all of them are on there. That'd be really fun to see that team get back together.
Yeah, Doug transferred.
I'll highlight
now,
these
though,
really
but,
quick.
Yeah.
I know, but still, he'd be fun to watch. I'll highlight a couple I thought were fun. I had HBCU United as well, featuring Rob Cologne from Winston-Salem State University. Shout out North Carolina. Unfortunately. No, some of the best HBCU players are at North Carolina Central and A&T, and none of them are performing because, well, they need to be ready to try to win an HBCU or title or make the tournament next year, obviously. So a big deal there with having HBCU represented. I think it's really awesome to see the continued representation of HBCUs in the next couple of years. Couple that are near and dear to my heart that I thought were really funny that I think you might get a laugh at. We are D3.
Yes.
A team of completely
I wanted to talk
D3
about them.
Players. We are D3. Like,
we
that
are
is D3. First of all, amazing that they qualified. Because, like, think about this. The most notable D3 player ever right now in the NBA is Duncan Robinson. That's a really big deal. He played D3 basketball. And I'm not really counting JUCO because JUCO is D... Like, there's that weird line that you have to draw with D3 and JUCO. There are D3 schools that are not JUCOs, so I'm kind of drawing that line there. There's a lot of guys like Marjan Beauchamp that went JUCO for a couple of games and stuff. I get it, right? Mm-hmm. But Duncan Robinson played multiple seasons in a Division III school and then transferred to Michigan and then the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
So,
Derek
really big
White
deal.
Was D2, but I think that's...
D2, yep.
Yeah, that's what
I had one that you'll laugh because I've always said this. I said this last year on our draft stuff, and I think I said that this year. The ex-Pats, the former Patriot League players, because the Patriot League, I am probably one of the biggest fans of the Patriot League that is not an alumni of any of those schools. I love the Patriot League. I think it's one of the coolest it's one of those college basketball leagues that I think if college basketball continues to do what it's doing with the conferences and all that stuff, like, I'm going to be really sad to see the Patriot League crumble one day because it's just a really cool league. Like, you have some, every year, by the way, for like the last 6 years, had somebody drafted from the Patriot League. Mm-hmm. It's cool. Like, was it Santi Aldama, like, the 30th pick last year?
Yeah.
For the first round? That's a really big deal for the Patriot League. That's a really cool thing. I just thought that was funny that they, that good of a league, you know, that good of players, you know, and they qualified and they earned it. So lastly, just I'm so disappointed he can't play. He's the coach. Skip to my Lou. One of my favorite, like, basketball historian, the Rucker Park stuff, the street ball stuff. Like, I just love the hoops and it's some of my favorite stuff. I eventually plan on getting a Skip to my Lou poster at some point when I have a big enough camera that'll show it all. But I love Ray Ferguson. I think that's really, really freaking cool that he's a head coach for a Skip to my Lou team that, I'll be honest with you, buddy, I don't know a single player on that team. I could not recall one. So I was very disappointed in myself. Those were all teams I was rooting for just as, like, if they make a run, I'd be really happy.
I remember the other team that that stuck out to me, the nerd team.
Oh yeah,
it's the Ivy League guys slash Notre Dame guys that have
weird that
joined
Notre Dame
together.
Got a, like a joined into that one. Yeah, that's
yeah,
funny.
The nerd team.
Anybody of note there that I'm forgetting?
No.
No, okay. I didn't know Jeremy Lin had been playing or something.
And then I just kind of wanted to jump through. I'm going to list off the schools who are there in alumni support. Just going through. Like I said, Wichita State. There's Texas Tech, who go by the Air Raiders. There's Always Us, which is Oregon. Best Virginia is West Virginia. Bleed Green is the North Texas alums. Blue Collar U is Buffalo University. Brown and White will be St. Bonaventure. Bucket Nears, ETSU.
Nice.
Scrolling down, Founding Fathers, that's James Madison. The Golden Eagles, Marquette. Heard That, Marshall alumni. Men of Mackey, that's the Purdue team. Nasty Natty is Cincinnati, obviously. Ohio 1804 will be the Ohio University. Omaha Blue Crew will be Creighton. Once a Bronco is Boise State. Panamaniacs, New Mexico State. Peacock Nation, like we talked about earlier. Purple and Black will be representing Kansas State University. Ram Up, the Colorado State team. Red Scare, the Dayton team, up there in Dayton, Ohio. Stillwater Stars, Oklahoma State. Team Arkansas, very creative for the University of Arkansas. The Crew, from Valparaiso. The Enchantment of New Mexico. War Ready from Auburn. Zip Them Up from Xavier. And Woco Showtime will be the Wofford University team. And the arch nemesis of the North Carolina Tar Heels, Fletcher McGee.
That was, I knew there was a reason you were going to list those out and end with that one.
Well, I wanted to talk about who the teams were, but yeah, I ended it there for a reason.
Shout out Robbie Hummel for being on the Purdue team. Otherwise, a list of guys that I did not recognize. I want to end with this, unless you have something else. I want to see really quick. We went over all the teams that we think we're rooting for, that we think are neat. Ultimately, this is a basketball show. We should also make a basketball prediction. So, who do you think wins the tournament? I have three that I'm between, and we can talk them out if you'd like to do it that format. I have three teams that I think are best suited.
I want to see the money team win it this year. I want to see Jimmer take home the title.
We are on the same page. Yeah. I have that as well. I have the money team. I think they can get it done. I have Boeheim's Army back to
back. I still think Boeheim's Army is incredibly overpowered compared to the rest
of the teams.
Oh, they are. Like, the talents on their team really kind of blows the rest of them away.
Yeah. Oh, this is literally like when Kevin Durant joined the Warriors. Like, this is literally just, like, the best team.
They added Tyler Ennis, Raheem Christmas, and Merrick Adoligai to a team that just won the basketball tournament last year.
Insane. Like, former NBA players on that roster is insane. I also think record doesn't show it, but CJ Miles and Sideline Cancer, I think, is a really underrated team that I think will surprise people. Okay. CJ Miles was an unbelievable NBA player, and some of those guys, they're playing for a really good cause, too. I think Sideline Cancer is obviously one of the better causes in this tournament. Not all teams are going to charity, technically, right? Or is it entirely for charity? No, right? It's choice.
Some of the big teams are doing it for charity.
Like Sideline Cancer.
I think they're all like... So, like, the teams that, like, have their boosters or their owners, per se, like, those get an equal cut in that million. Marcus Smart is not going to take his cut if YGC wins. That's kind of the, at least how I've seen it.
Marcus Smart is not going to take. Got it. All right. My official prediction, then you can make yours, and then we can get out of here. I officially think that the money team is going to pull it off. I think Jimmer Fredette is going
to
score
love to
like
see
crazy.
It, man.
Trevor Booker is going to pull down 15 boards. I think they're going
to
pull it off.
I'd love to see a money team Boeheim's Army final. I don't know what side of the brackets they're on, but I'd love to see that matchup. Would be incredible. Like I said, I hope that Team Overtime wins at least one game so that I can watch the Thompson Twins play twice. I don't have a lot of hope for them doing very well in this tournament because at the end of the day, they are mostly a team of like 17-year-olds against some 25, 26-year-olds who have been through the trenches of college basketball for quite a while. So,
yeah. All right. So, official predictions: do we agree that we think TMT is going to win?
I want them to win. I think Boeheim's Army will win again.
All right. So, your official prediction is Boeheim's Army. I think TMT will get it done. All right. That'll be fun to watch how that turns out in a battle of epic proportions for $1 million.
It's really cool.
It is just really neat.
I'm very excited.
There are so many things to go through here. We'll actually go through and we'll talk about some of the games that happened, some things that happened with the league. So, with that being said,
we'll be back on Monday to talk about the first 2 days.
Yeah, that'll be really cool. It won't be anything like the March Madness, you know, recap of the first 2 days, but
no.
It'll be close. It'll be close. Little itch.
And for anyone that like really wants to get into it, it looks like they're doing a TBT tournament challenge on their website.
They are.
I don't know enough about these teams to do that. Like, I don't have any designs on it, but like, if you're listening, if you're still here,
grabs.
I guess you probably care about TBT if you're still listening to this podcast at this point.
Yeah.
Enter it. Why not? Do some fun.
$1,000 grand prize.
Some March Madness fun in July. July Madness.
Yeah, get the itch for college basketball out that only ended not that long ago. So, all right, really quick, we'll get this out of the way. At Two Pointers on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook is at the Two Pointers Podcast, TikTok, and YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, like, comment, all of the stuff that you can. Click right here to subscribe. Click right here to watch a previous video. It's probably going to be Josh's collapse of the Charlotte Hornets on draft night because that's the one that's hilarious to me.
Nice.
You'll see it. It's one of these two things that you're seeing right here. All right, Josh, close us out.
With that being said, this has been the Two Pointers Podcast. I'm Josh.
And I'm Trevor.
And we will see you soon.